Let us now give our earnest attention to Brother Andrew as he delivers to us his words to help us on our walk Zionwards. Brother Andrew, please.
Brother Gordon, Sister Vivienne, my dear family in Christ Jesus, to use a colloquialism, what a roller coaster of the last few months everybody has had at Hengoid. It's been change and change again and change again. So for our exhortation this morning, I would like us to have the opportunity to stop and to take stock and for us to see where we were, where we are, and where, God willing, where we're heading. Job chapter 10, if you'd like to turn this up with me. Job chapter 10 and verse 12. Thou hast granted me life and favour, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. This, in another version, has been alternatively rendered. You gave me life and showed me kindness, and in your providence watched over my spirit. Job recognizes the hand of God through every aspect of our lives. And sometimes when we've been carried along with the momentum of events, we can actually miss what's happening before our very eyes or not always take it in. So pausing to take stock, we can actually see the hand of God in our lives and we can give him the due praise. Now obviously the hand of God ranges from the more routine but nevertheless much appreciated general blessings, our daily needs, which Christ says, your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, to blessings which actually stand right out from the norm. But when we realise who is actually in control of our lives, the creator of the heavens and the earth, it should be hardly surprising that sometimes extraordinary things happen in our lives. Brother Gordon, Sister Vivienne, our dear Sister Zara, Matthew, Baz and Gemma, and all of those who have recently joined Hengoid, God has given us something very special. We haven't just joined any group of people in the world, we've joined a Berean ecclesia. Now, Berean isn't appended to Christadelphian as an act of arrogance to sound holier than thou against the rest of Christadelphia. On the contrary, it actually gives us something special to aspire towards as a community. Now, obviously, Berea is mentioned in Acts, and it says that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily. Now many feel that the name Christadelphian in these last days is slowly losing its meaning. And some, like Brother Richard Lister, for example, have actually dropped the name Christadelphian altogether. However, when Christadelphian is combined with the name Berean, it powerfully reinstates the attitude of the pioneer brethren, and thus the early ecclesia. Rather than being of the modern-day churchy or Laodicean ilk, we must strive to be brethren of Christ who have received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. So this suggests God's truth being our lives and not just slotting God's truth into our lives whenever it's convenient. Anything less, and we do discredit to the Berean name, and we're actually then in the Berean fellowship under false pretenses. It is up to every one of us in this apathetic age to strive to maintain the spirit of Berea within the Berean fellowship. And I'd certainly counsel the young here, those who have been fortunate to be brought up Berean, and all of us here, but I'm thinking particularly those who haven't experienced the looser elements of Christadelphia, that we must strive not to lose what we have and not to fall into the trap of socially convenient union rather than holding on to true unity through unflinching adherence to God's word and God's truth. If we do slip into this trap, we become neither hot nor cold, which we all know leads to us being spewed out of the mouth of the Master. So we all have a warning here. It's easy to slip, but we must, as it says in Hebrews, exhort one another daily while it is called today. Jude tells us that this exhortation should be to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So, brothers and sisters, there's no room for apathy. There's no room for complacency. Contending actually involves a struggle against the flesh, both personally and ecclesially. In Western society, brothers and sisters, with its comforts, with its wealth and countless distractions, we see affluence killing fervour for the truth. Humanist ideology has brainwashed the masses in the society we're living in, and it has infiltrated Christadelphia very, very sadly. Now, feeding from the world and listening to so-called worldly wisdom, which we know obviously is foolish, actually desensitizes us to the severity of the evil of the world. And it is so easy, as Paul warns Romans, to become conformed to this world. Some of the versions actually translate that conform to the pattern of this world. Fleshly minds actually veer towards the gods of this age rather than Yahweh, our Creator. And that is why we need this daily exhortation one to another. And that's why we need fellowship, brothers and sisters. This is why we need ecclesias. All of us sharing the same aim. All of us walking as one. We read on Friday in Thessalonians, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Could you turn, please, to Psalm 133? This is one of my favourite psalms. And I used to look at this with longing, brothers and sisters. Psalm 133, beginning at the first verse. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yahweh commanded the blessing, even life for evermore." Yes, I used to look at this with longing, and I actually never thought that this could be a reality, this side of the kingdom. Previously, I used to think that the best that we could hope for, reluctantly, was to accept a mingling of contrasting beliefs within one fellowship and cling to those here and there who wanted to strive for sound doctrine. And that's how our family bonded with the Tippins family, because we felt as one and we were able to encourage one another. We have spent over the last few years many hours together and on the telephone lamenting the state of Christadelphia with its false doctrine and its lack of separation, including from the churches. And we are finding comfort only from knowing that there were others out there who shared our concerns, and that we knew that Christ was coming soon and he was going to put everything right. And back then it seemed a valiant approach to stay, stand up and fight. Obviously fighting for the truth. If you'd like to turn to James chapter 3, please. James chapter 3. Now there are lots of aspects to the tongue, but I'd like to concentrate on just one. James 3 verse 5, "Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things." Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Now the deceitful tongues of apostates, as it says in Romans, change the truth of God into a lie, and unchecked and unhindered have set Christadelphia on fire. Now, staying to fight, as we often think, is like trying to fight a large fire with a cup of water. The fire will eventually consume all in its path. And we know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump, which we see in Corinthians and Galatians. And if we leave wolves among sheep, one by one they will devour the whole flock. Generally, within Christadelphia, wolves tend to knock off a few of the weaker sheep, and then they head straight towards those who they perceive to be a threat to them, ravenously savaging the truth, leaving a trail of spiritual destruction in their wake. And they restore the idolatry and the Asherah poles and the high places of the papist apostasy. And what we end up with is a state of adultery between the harlot and Christadelphia. Now, can we stay in a state of spiritual adultery and actually get away with it? Yahweh, says the great creator in Exodus, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Now, the difficulty, of course, to the untrained eye, wolves often appear kindly. They may seem sometimes more like sheep than the sheep themselves. And their words may on the surface have a form of godliness. And they may entice people with their flattering words. Now, obviously, totally apostate religion is very obvious and very clear and easy to avoid. But a blend of truth with apostasy is much more subtle. But it will not deceive the discerning. Wherefore, says Christ, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, any other God than the one God revealed in Scripture is a human fabrication. Man-made religion, including a mixture of truth and lies, is falsehood. And falsehood, brothers and sisters, is idolatry. The bride of the first Adam was deceived. Very, very sadly, the bride of the last Adam is being deceived. History repeats itself time and time again. And that's why we don't have just a small Bible. We have a wealth of scripture for our learning. Deception has been there right from the beginning. And God's response has never changed. If you'd like to have a look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, please. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 16, it says, take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and that you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then Yahweh's wrath be kindled against you. We dare not, brothers and sisters, add to, take away from, or twist any words of divinely inspired scripture. As Paul writes to Timothy, turning away our ears from the truth unto fables. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. It says here, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Brothers and sisters, the Old Testament and the New Testament all speak as one. We have to have faithfulness to God at all costs. Our Thessalonians reading very powerfully commands us regarding our duty towards error. If you'd like to have a look at the reading that we've had, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. There are two aspects to this command. Number one, we have to withdraw ourselves from those who walk disorderly, or unruly, as that could be translated. Or number two, we have to withdraw ourselves from those whose walk is not after the traditions which they received. Now, to stay in an open, tolerant fellowship, where in some quarters anything goes, we actually have to defy both aspects of this command. And an interesting follow-up is that although we have to separate ourselves from such fellowship, we still have a duty towards those who are still there. Have a look at verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So, brothers and sisters, it is our duty to send warning signals into central fellowship regarding the toleration of apostasy. However, this has to be done with extreme care. Otherwise, it's easy to become dragged into endless arguments with controversial characters, which can end up pulling us down. And hence, we need to have no company with them. So we need, brothers and sisters, a balanced approach, one that can help others see the need for the adherence to the doctrine of fellowship, whilst at the same time not becoming bogged down with anything that could put our own spiritual lives at risk, or even our families, if they see us becoming dragged down. Some time ago, Brother Phil said to me that the brothers and sisters here had prayed for people to join the Hengoid Ecclesia who would actually recognise the essential nature of the doctrine of fellowship. Now, God clearly saw that the brothers and sisters at Hengoid genuinely desire to uphold the word of God in faithfulness and in truth. A tiny little community of faithful believers. James 5, verse 6, words that we all know. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God also heard the cries of despair of those of us who were within a community who were despairing at the slow returning to Egypt. And through the hand of providence, he's bringing people into Berean fellowship. Through an understanding of the doctrine of fellowship and responsibility to it, by the grace of God, we are now in Berean fellowship. We're in the Berean Christ-Selfing community, and we thank God for this wonderful blessing. If, though, we take the separation element of the doctrine of fellowship on its own and dwell on that to the exclusion of other essential aspects of fellowship, we soon become negative thinkers. Separation is a painful process. It involves some stress and some de-stress. Where there is spiritual disunity, Christ sends a sword. And that can even be between families if necessary. However, separation as an act of faithfulness has a very positive flip side. Yes, brother Gordon and Sister Vivian, you've made a separation, and yes, it is painful. However, you've done it because of love of God's truth. You accept the doctrine of fellowship and the need for separation, but now it's time to move on to a much more spiritual aspect of life. Now is the time to enjoy the positive, the joyful, and the pleasant side of the doctrine of fellowship. Going back to the psalm, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, brothers and sisters, is this simply something we can only crave for that cannot happen this side of the kingdom? Absolutely not. This is written in the present tense and is something that can be achieved in the present. As Brother Robert Roberts expresses succinctly in the Doctrine of Fellowship, when people gather together with varying beliefs, the best that we can hope for is a socially convenient union. However, when children of light come together in sincerity and in truth, without compromise, something remarkable happens. Something beautiful. Something altogether alien to a world which is built upon compromise. We have unity. In unity, brothers and sisters, we can grow in spirit and in truth, walking with God as Abraham, feeding together on the Spirit word, encouraging one another on our walk in the truth, striving together to conquer the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, whilst we seek to manifest God. This, brothers and sisters, is true unity, true fellowship, and it's a humbling experience for all concerned. Philippians 2, if you'd like to turn to this, please. Paul writes here, let nothing be done, this is in verse 3, sorry, Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I appeal to brothers and sisters, young members of our ecclesial family, and all who may end up listening to this, our few words of exhortation on the internet. Having personally seen two contrasting angles and now been members of the Brian Christophian Fellowship, God is giving us each an opportunity here which is so precious and which has largely been lost in Christadelphia, and we must never lose sight of it. And let us praise God for the blessing that we have in these last dark, degenerate age of human dominion. Let us embrace the opportunity we have to walk together, exhorting one another, helping one another, lifting one another up, praying together, reading together, studying together, and building together. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Now therefore, verse 19, Ephesians 2, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, moving into Brian Fellowship actually has a period of adjustment. There certainly has been for us, and to a certain extent there still is, but even this is a positive experience. Brother Gordon, Sister Vivienne and family, since we've known you, you've been a great encouragement to our own family. And I know that you'll be a wonderful asset to the Hengoid Christelfian Ecclesia and to the Brian community at large. And that the brothers and sisters here, as Michelle and my family have found, will be shining examples to yourselves. Now, I'm not talking utopia here. We're all human beings, and still, sadly, although we're striving against it, we're subject to the flesh. And yes, at times there will be difficulties and struggles, and sometimes these may significantly affect us. However, with the unity of doctrine, having the foundation of the truth, united in purpose, united in our desire to please the Father, we have a much stronger basis to strive to bear with one another's imperfections and work together, as it says in Hebrews, to go on to perfection. And as with everything, I exhort myself first and hope that this helps others. I know that brothers who do prepare exhortations usually feel that they're the ones who benefit most from looking into these things and studying the threads throughout Scripture. Now, I don't know how you feel, brothers and sisters, but in my own life, perfection seems to be a long way off. I have my work cut out, and maybe at times you feel this too. Now, we're soon to have the opportunity, as it says in Corinthians, to let a man examine himself as we take these emblems. Now, we cannot stop examining ourselves until we actually see the nature of Christ fully within ourselves. And as this will not happen this side of the kingdom, we need to continually feed upon the word, never giving up, meeting together in fellowship, asking for God's mercy, remembering the Lord Jesus Christ each week, until the day we either fall asleep in him or we see his glorious return. As when Jesus says, that day when I drink it's new with you in my Father's kingdom. And we do these things, brothers and sisters, in the knowledge that, as it says in 1 John, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So, Brother Gordon and Sister Vivian, what can you expect from your experience with the Hengoid brothers and sisters? Well, one of the things that we noticed very early on is that there is no passive Christianity, but everybody within the ecclesia is active within the Lord's service. Sunday Christianity has no attraction whatsoever. You'll find that the brothers and sisters here have the desire to live the truth every single day of their lives. Here you'll find humility that we've certainly discovered with the brothers and sisters here. There's no self-promotion. There's no self-righteousness. You'll find faith and hope bound together with love. Love for the Father and Son, and love for God's truth in its purity, and love for the brothers and sisters. You'll find stimulating studies from brothers who enthusiastically dig amongst the endless supply of spiritual gems from God's word. You'll enjoy, as you have been already, upbuilding conversation, emanating from hearts that are trying to please God. You'll find a deep reverence for the Father and Son. You'll see the Father being honoured. As the psalmist wrote in Psalm 29, and you may wish to look this up with me, we've got some beautiful words here in Psalm 29 and verse 2. Give unto Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Worship Yahweh in the beauty of holiness. You'll find, as you already have done, that the young people here do not seek the pleasures of the world, and instead they're encouraging one another, providing examples for the little ones, whilst being an exhortation to us all. And we must always bear in mind the sin of Achan in today's Joshua reading. And the sin of coveting has many different aspects, and it's one that must be avoided at all costs. And we must not be tempted to covet the things of this world whilst being... We must not be tempted to covet the things of this world that we know that we should leave behind. We must never try to incorporate the things of the world into our lives in Christ, whether these be pleasures or treasures, activities, worldly ideals, or the apostate theology of the churches around us. And so the young members of our ecclesial family and the older brothers and sisters, we must always continue to try our hardest to shun worldly corruption. If we don't, we start heading straight back to Egypt and the slavery of sin. And we end up looking back towards Sodom with longing, as Lot's wife did. Now, Brother Gordon and Sister Vivian, I know that having spiritually young-minded young people here is already providing to be a great comfort to yourselves, as it does to our family. And we sincerely hope, Brother Gordon, Sister Vivian, Sister Zara, Baz, Matthew, Gemma, and their eldest son Luke will, God willing, all find spiritual peace among the Hengoyd ecclesial family. So, what can the Hengoyd ecclesia look forward to having the fellowship of the Tippins family here? Well, the Tippins family are certainly one of the most spiritually minded families that we've ever come across. They have an incredible zeal for the truth. Whatever happens in their lives, they look for spiritual lessons. And they have taught our family the meaning of what it means to pray without ceasing, which we read about in Friday's reading. Everything they do, they strive to make a matter of prayer, and whether that's going on a short journey or whether it's an issue that they have to face, they strive to totally entrust their lives into the hand of God. And in the 5 years that we've known them, we've never heard any unwholesome talk coming from them or their children. They're absolutely filled with a love and dedication for the truth, which has dictated the way that they're trying to bring their children up. And their children should be excellent company, and have been already, for the youngsters at Hengoyd, as all the youngsters, hopefully, God willing, will be pulling in the same direction. What a wonderful group of youngsters we have in our ecclesia, and a blessing they are to us. Our love for the Tippins family is very dear, and we are so delighted of being blessed with the opportunity to commend them to the love of the Brian community and the Hengoyd ecclesia. Now, what can we do, brothers and sisters, for the new family that we have in our fellowship? Well, clearly the duty that we have is to help and encourage their children as the Tippins family seek to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as we can all of the youngsters in the ecclesia. Now, we've already recently had the opportunity to rejoice as we've seen Zara's faith flourish into a position of responsibility, and that responsibility has led to a commitment to Yahweh, her creator. Now, as you know, after several years of trying to move down here, they finally managed to do it, in part, and they've done this as a leap of faith. Now it's become clear why God has allowed the move at this particular time. Now, nevertheless, we know that their circumstances are still less than ideal. Sister Vivienne and the children living down here, whilst Brother Gordon is staying in Yorkshire currently to earn a living with Luke. So what can we do to assist them on a spiritual and practical level? Well, firstly and most importantly, we can remember them in our prayers, asking the Father, according to his will, to reunite them soon. And we read recently the wonderful example of Brother Epaphras in Colossians chapter 4. Would you like to turn to this, please? Colossians chapter 4. Verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always labouring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. So here, brothers and sisters, we have a wonderful example of a man who devoted himself to prayer, in prayer for the brethren. He wasn't simply praying, but he was labouring fervently in prayer for them, having a great zeal for their spiritual well-being. This is how we should be towards our brothers and sisters. Now, secondly, as Brother Gordon is in semi-isolation at the moment, we can maybe write to him or call him and try and keep his spirits high with words of encouragement and exhortation. and we can support Sister Vivian and their family down here. On a practical level, we can keep our eyes open for job vacancies or try and come up with ideas to try and reunite their family. And we can give them a warm and loving ecclesial home in which to grow spiritually whilst we all await the return of our Saviour. And so, brothers and sisters, taking stock, a small group of faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Hengoyd has grown. Those of us who have cried out against the unfaithfulness of God's word have been blessed with an ecclesial home. Now we all have an opportunity to learn together, to grow together, and to walk together in the light of truth. Brothers and sisters, let our most ardent prayer be for the return of our Saviour and a place in God's kingdom, and for the beautiful vision in our reading that we had from Isaiah to be finally fulfilled. Shall we have a look at the words in Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 11. And verse 4. With righteousness he shall judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt or destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand up for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. I'd like to end our thoughts this morning with some words of Paul to the Ephesians. Perhaps you'd like to follow these words with me. Again, beautiful words. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Brother Gordon and Sister Vivienne, welcome to the Hengoyd Ecclesia.